Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Pastor Dusty. I'm here with my friend, Pastor Bob Thune. We're at Corumdale Church, and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church is out today. But regardless, on Wednesdays, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about physical fitness and Christians because of a question that a listener sent in. Matt says, hey, first off, Bob, with all the snacks that you get on this podcast, how are you already not 300 pounds plus?
That's a great question.
Except today. No snacks today because of all sorts of reasons. But his real question is, what role does physical fitness play in the life of a Christian, if any at all? As embodied souls, I'd love to hear your thoughts and perspectives on the topic of fitness and what the Bible has to say about the importance of caring for our bodies.
Well, that's a great question. This is not the first time a listener has asked this question, and I guess we've never really tackled it because I always feel like, is it the most pressing question we could talk about? But what's interesting is we're in the Lenten season right now. It's a season of fasting and sort of pulling back, season of solitude and disciplines of abstinence. And so I've been thinking a lot about just my patterns of consumption, what I eat, what I don't eat, how I take care of my body. So I think this is a really important question. And I know for a lot of people, this is a live question for two reasons. One, there are people who are really, really committed to fitness. I mean, Christian, the world of like high-end fitness and the world of Christianity tend to overlap a lot. We've got triathletes in our church and fitness coaches and, you know, people who are very into the world of physical fitness. That's their livelihood. That's what they care about. And I think we've also, you know, there's also a number of Christians who struggle in various ways with eating, with appetite, with things like obesity. And so I think that, you know, the sin of gluttony is always present within the church. And so it's interesting that in any church, I think you kind of have some portion of people that are like super fitness guru people and some sort of people that probably feel a little concerned about the ways that they maybe need to dial in their appetites. And so I feel the pastoral sensitivity of talking about a topic like this because you're tapping into something that gets at all of our thoughts about body image and about aging and about, you know, how we look in the world and how people relate to us. And so it's actually a pretty deep and profound topic.
Yeah. And hey, you just mentioned aging. So before we even get into physical fitness, I think it is important to just talk about how the Christian view of death is really important also in how we view our body, take care of our body and stuff like that. Right.
I was going to suggest as we thought about this topic that, yes, I think the way to frame this in the most interesting way is to say, Matt asked the question, you know, what role does physical fitness play in the life of a Christian? I might set the question up this way. How does the fact that you're going to die affect how you should think about your physical fitness?
Yeah.
Because here's why that's fascinating to me, Dusty, because I think there are, I see in the Christian world, some people who seem to probably just not care about their bodies very much or either struggle to sort of like get a rein on their appetites. And so there's a sense of like their struggle is with, you know, gluttony and those kinds of things.
Sure.
But I also see in our culture, especially this, you know, all the push toward like maximal fitness is kind of a way of avoiding mortality.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who are very into like body optimization and like, you know, the guys that are like dialing in all their diet. And there's that guy, Brian Johnson in Silicon Valley, who's like, you know, trying to like live forever. And he's getting on all these podcasts recently. And so I think a lot of people are thinking about, man, if we just like stay as healthy as we can like push death off into the distance. And
yeah,
I think there's something about just embracing Psalm 90, you know, hey, you got 70 years or if God is gracious, 80. And then it's over. And
yeah.
I think as Christians, that does need to map onto how we think about a question like this.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, really important for us to realize that, man, our bodies are a gift. Our body is given to us by the Lord Jesus, and we need to steward it appropriately. So that is going to require some sort of physical fitness. If I think about my own journey, Bob, I think I cared a little bit about physical fitness in college. And then didn't care very much about physical fitness until I realized, here's how I thought about it. How I take care of my body now is going to have a significant impact on my most important relationships in decades to come. Mm-hmm. And so that's what started to motivate me towards some sort of physical activity. And so I viewed it through, okay, God's given me a body. I've been, you know, you're not 20 forever, basically. So I probably ought to figure out how to take care of it so that it can be as healthy as it can be for the long term. And I also was looking at genetics in that and looking at my family and going, well, that's interesting math. If I just look at the numbers, I probably need to take care of myself to get to Psalm 90 kind of place.
Psalm 90 be extended for your family legacy kind of.
So I think it's wise. We have to do some sort of physical activity, and at the same time, we can't buy into the idolatry of physical activity.
All right, so let's ground in two places in Scripture. One is what we've already mentioned, Psalm 90. I'm going to read the exact text. I just used this last week at our prayer gathering for Coram Deo. We kind of try to always start in a Scripture passage, and I used Psalm 90 a few weeks ago, and here's the text that stands out to me. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. So that it's just this reminder that, hey, you're not going to live forever. Here's what you have to look forward to. At some point, your body is going to decline and give out, and you're going to die. But then to counterbalance that, you have 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. The context of that exhortation is fleeing from sexual immorality. It's pursuing a life of sexual integrity. But I think that principle is obviously broader. The way he grounds that exhortation to sexual integrity is to say, because your body's not your own. You don't belong to you. You belong to God. And therefore, you have a responsibility to glorify God in your body. So I think this does map onto how we take care of our bodies, how we treat our bodies. And I think it's particularly interesting the way that the listener, Matt, asked the question. He said, as embodied souls.
Yeah.
How does that map onto how we should think about this? Because I think the classic poor way of thinking about this that kind of was present when I was growing up was, hey, you know what? You know, is that verse in, is it 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy? You know, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. Like, hey, you know what? Like, the most important thing is your soul. You know, your body matters, but not quite as much. And I think there is wisdom in that, but it's fascinating to think about that. Actually, the biblical anthropology is that you are a body soul. Mm-hmm. Your body and soul are connected. And one of our friends, Matt Lapine, has done actually some pretty profound work in this area of theological psychology. And one of the things that he points out in the book he wrote, the name of it is escaping me right now. I'll have to look it up. But his contention is that your body affects your soul and vice versa, right? So like, you know this, Dusty. Like, I'm right now fasting pretty intently during Lent, and I told my wife last night, like, man, I just don't have the energy that I have in a normal week. Like, my brain is tired. And that's just because I'm eating differently and I'm restricting myself from a lot of things. And it's the nature of the fact that my body affects lots of other things, my soul, my energy, et cetera.
Yeah, and I was just on a call with a friend, and he's been dropping a lot of weight intentionally. And he was talking about all this stuff that he's feeling because of their firstborn daughter. And he said, I can't just curb my emotions with pizza anymore. Mm. And he had a profound point. He was basically saying, similar to what you're saying, like, I'm going to do this on purpose for my physical good. And it's also going to drum up all sorts of stuff in my soul along the way.
So let's answer Matt's question real plainly, and then let's sort of build upon that, Dusty, some sort of broader meditations here about fitness. So the question he asked is, what role does physical fitness play in the life of a Christian? And I think what we're trying to say is, you are responsible before God to take care of your body. And also, you are responsible before God not to idolize your body. And so that somewhere in that space between neglecting and idolizing is where our biblical responsibility lies. Now, I think there's some people are like, man, I'm going to go to the gym every day and I'm going to like be really physically fit. I'm going to run some triathlons and that kind of thing. And some people are like, hey, I'm just, you know, if I get to the gym once a week and just, you know, avoid chocolate cake, that's a win, you know. So I don't know that there's a prescriptive way that that needs to look. But I do think that scripture, a healthily Christian understanding of the body, has to embrace both. I have a responsibility to care for my body, and I have a responsibility not to idolize my body, because eventually it's going to give out.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to be consumed by my body, right? I remember when I first started working out again, I got a trainer, and he wanted me to, you know, count every calorie and be in the gym every day, and also so that he could make money. You know, like, it's also a business plan. And I told him, I was like, hey, I'll do this for like 10 days, but I'm not going to do it forever. Like, I don't have the time for it. And I'm just not as committed to this as you are. This is his whole life, right? But for me, it was just like, hey, I just need to line some things up. I was in a rut with my working out, but I don't need this to be my God, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's important for us to go, okay, how do I take care of myself and not get consumed with myself?
I want to talk to listeners, sidebar here. If you're a listener, I want to challenge you in two areas. One, I want you to ask the question, are you guilty of passivity, sloth, laziness, or gluttony? You know, sloth and gluttony are two of the seven deadly sins. I mean, these have classically been understood as these are a deficiency of virtue that is going to pull us away from the kingdom of God. And it's funny, I've never heard a sermon on gluttony or preached one, Dusty.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a topic you can really touch in the modern world, because there's sensitivity around it, and because we live in a culture that's
body
just like
shaming,
yeah,
stuff like that.
But also we live in a culture that's just a culture of excess. And so kind of all of us are gluttons, sort of, you know. Yeah. I mean, in this fasting I'm doing right now, I'm realizing like, oh man, I just sort of take it for granted that I can eat kind of whenever I want and kind of any kind of food I want.
Yeah.
Versus my ancestors who had to live on whatever was seasonal, you know. So I want to challenge listeners, hey, is there sloth or gluttony present in you? And if so, will you take that not as a, oh, you know, my doctor probably wishes I'd do something about that, but think about that in terms of, what does the living God require of you? Like, what is glorifying God in your body mean? And how do you treat this as a spiritual problem, not just a physical challenge? I also want to challenge listeners, is there a sense in which you idolize fitness, having a certain kind of body, or having a certain kind of muscle mass, or a certain kind of ritual of working out? Because I think I have discipled people in the past for whom those things are so closely held.
Yeah.
That when as you age and your just capacities in those areas change a little bit, people start to get very, very anxious or clingy, or start to explore solutions that I would say, like, I'm not sure you should go so quickly to that. And the example I'll use here is my mom and dad, towards the end of their ministry career, ministered in Palm Desert, California, you know, which is a very affluent place, place that a lot of people who have done really well in life have a second or a third home, and they just go there for a few months of the year. And so I would meet, you know, people there, especially in the wintertime, lots of folks go there. And I was just surprised how many, you know, 70 and 80 year olds in that church all had various kinds of plastic surgery, or all were sort of like on various kinds of, you know, hormones or supplements, and just sort of almost trying to pretend they were still 40. Mm. And I think there is some freedom, some Christian freedom there to say, I'm not going to tell you can't, you know, take some testosterone or whatever. But I also think that, like, if you're 80, you're not 40, and that's okay. Like, yeah. you can't maintain that youthful body forever. Again, Psalm 90. So there does have to come some reckoning with, hey, we're going to age, we're going to grow old, we're going to die. There may be responsible ways that we need to work against that, but there's also this need to embrace the sort of reality of that.
Yeah. And I think that's where the Christian and this particular question can really lead a type of change in this type of stewardship, because the world and the culture is trying to keep us young, you know, like the things that you've referenced there. And I think actually to be distinctly Christian, we have to go, okay, here's how old I am. What's it look like to steward my body at this age?
Yeah.
And exercise appropriately at this age, which is funny. While you were talking, I was reminded myself of, I went over, it was a particularly slow day at the gym. And so I went over and I asked this trainer about this certain exercise and I was like, hey, how do you do this? You know? And he like grabs the weight from me and then just throws it up, this super odd movement. And I said, hey man, I'm 45. I can't do that. And he was like, well, you asked me, you know, and he, like I've developed a relationship with this guy. And so it was pretty funny. And I was just like, oh yeah, that's not going to work. Like, and I just told him, I was like, that's not going to work. He's probably 25, you know? And I think, you know, it's moments like that where I have to realize here's where I'm at. Here's what is mine to steward. Here's mm-hmm. what's not mine to steward. It's interesting. This whole conversation about body exercise, I'm reading a book right now, You're Only Human by Kelly Capick. And in there, he has this amazing line. He says, it's not the body that we have a problem with. Like, I don't have a problem with you or your body. I have a problem with my body. And so I start to drift towards eating disorders, you know, that can be a thing, or I can drift towards neglect. But either way, I think the Christian is faced with, I have to do something with this body and I have to believe the truth of the gospel about this body and my embodied soul in this particular carcass, if you will. And he's making a profound point in that book to just say, to what you said moments ago, our body and our soul are combined. And so I think to the listener's question, then therefore physical activity has to have some sort of place in my life. You know, when I first started working out the second time, after college, it was because I realized, okay, really what I'm doing is sitting around a lot, mm-hmm. you know, like my work,
my pastoral job is sedentary, work. Yeah.
I'm using my mind a lot. I'm having conversations a lot, but I'm not doing anything physical. You know, I'm not working construction.
Yep.
I'm not, you know, like shoveling snow, you know, I'm not doing anything, you know? And so like my body needs to do something.
Yeah.
And so I do think it is important to also consider, well, what's demanded of me throughout the day and what's going to preserve and also steward.
Okay. A couple thoughts here, a couple connections, Dusty. What would you say about, you mentioned a few minutes ago, a pastor who said, you know, I can't medicate with pizza or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And I do think part of the way, you know, part of the questions that we have to ask when we think about fitness are, in what ways does food, eating, or exercise become for me a way of coping with other things that are going on in life? And this is kind of your world, because you know that people feel things and then we do things to avoid grief or pain or whatever we don't want to feel. And one of those things is eating and one of those things is exercise.
Yeah. Well, I would just say, you know, just to show my own cards here, whenever I'm stressed out, I have a rule with myself that alcohol cannot be involved. Mm. Just because of my genetics and my family and what I've seen that happen, because I think that would be a very easy escape for me. Mm-hmm. It would be a numbing mechanism. Mm-hmm. And I think exercise is a way of avoiding something, you know, it's all in the name of good. Like, oh yeah, like you should work out, you should. And food is the same way. I think what happens is the Lord is always inviting us into something. And then we have the agency and the opportunity to engage that, feel that, move into that transformation, whatever that moment is, whatever that invitation is, or hit eject and either grab chips or go to the gym, mm-hmm. you know, like for whatever personality it is. So I think every person has this ability to get out of those invitations.
It's interesting. I want to ask you this question, but it's kind of going to put you on the spot. I'm just thinking of my own answer to it, but how do you know when you're exercising to the glory of God and when you're exercising to sort of like, I don't know, chase your own compulsions or, you know, love yourself or glory in yourself?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, for me, it was, well, aging helps, you know, because when you start to age, you start to pay a little bit more attention. Like I remember when I hit 45, which was last year, and I felt like, okay, I'm burning half the calories that I used to burn doing the exact same thing. Like that's just true. Mm-hmm. That's just factual. So I think that was a moment for me where I was like, okay, I'm going to research this. I'm going to, you know, and then you just end up doing a deep dive because of the age of the internet. And so that's consumption. Mm. And that is not good. And so I just made a deal with myself that, okay, I'm going to shoot for 3 to 4 times a week. I'm not going to try to work out every time. I'm going to try to work out 4 times a week because that's more than half the week. Mm. And so if I can just do it more than half, then maybe that'll be good stewardship. So I think when my mind or my body is just preoccupied, if I'm preoccupied with anything but the glory of God, that's when I know I'm on a slippery slope of worship. Mm. I don't have that problem physically because of just my life right now is just, there's so much time demand on different things and more important things. But I could see where this would be the case for me, you know, at 30 or maybe even later on in life at 55 when I start, because I'm a fearful person. So I can get anxious about these things or fearful about it. And then fear is motivating for me in a negative way sometimes in a good way, but often in a negative way.
Yeah. I think as I was thinking about my own answer to that question, I know I'm in glorifying God when I'm enjoying it, when I'm doing it for the joy of it, not as like, man, I got to cut this weight or I got to get this part of my body in shape. But when it's just like, man, God gave me a body and I want to enjoy, like it feels good to use it and to keep it in good shape, you know? So there's a way that I can do those things where it feels like, man, I'm really honoring the Lord. It's fun for me to enjoy this versus feeling a sense that like, I got to do this because I'm sort of compelled to in some strange way, some selfish way.
Yeah. I mean, all physical fitness for me at least is driven out of, I believe that the Lord put me here on earth to create a spiritual heritage from scratch. And I want to see as much of that fruit as possible.
Yeah.
And so that's really it. And beyond that would be a slippery slope towards something else.
Yeah, that's good. So let's also talk about, I think there's, you know, so we're middle-aged guys. And so, you know, we realize like, hey, you know, sometimes people can be compulsive about fitness and, you know, you got to embrace the reality of your actual life. But there's also a bunch of young dudes in our church. I'm thinking of these guys that are like 21, 22. You guys know who you are. I'm talking about you right now on the podcast who are all like into MMA and like, you know, jujitsu. And I actually like that because those are guys who know like, man, I got a lot of horsepower. I got a lot of testosterone. I got a lot of energy. And if I don't burn it in a healthy way, it's going to take me somewhere bad. So there's a lot of young men who are sort of like into those things because it's a way of dialing in their passions and trying to point them in a direction that's not destructive. And I actually have a lot of respect for that. And I think that there can be seasoned younger in life for people who are younger where it's like actually fitness or some aspect of a fitness regimen provides an outlet for you to push energy in a direction that's constructive instead of that's destructive.
Oh, for sure. And I would say, yeah, do that all day long. You know, don't let the enemy derail you towards something else. But I also think we have to keep in mind in our culture that like, especially if you're on social media, all these influencers and all, you know, like, so if you're going to type in kettlebells, you know, like there's going to be like this amazing chiseled 45-year-old dude
doing kettlebell like, workouts.
Here's the kettlebell workout you need, you know, and you got to remember like, okay, also that guy's getting paid a lot or he's making his money off of this click. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, actually you're not going to look like that, nor should you try. Similar to like what women have always faced with body image stuff. Right. And now men are, because I think of the internet are facing more realistically body image issues.
Yeah. So you're saying don't try to chase the chiseled guy on my Instagram feed.
Nah, man.
That's not what I'm going to be.
Live a wise life, not a chiseled life.
Let me just name some of the stats going back to the question of like, what role does fitness play for the Christian? I want to name a few things about America just because I think it's good for us as Christians to understand the realities that we face. Nearly 40% of U.S. adults, over 100 million people, currently fall into the category of obese. So obesity is a huge public health problem in the U.S. Now, that has to do with a lot of things. It has to do with processed foods. It has to do with a more sedentary lifestyle. There's a lot of factors to that. And, you know, there's ways that people who struggle with obesity, it can be stigmatized as like, oh, that's all your fault. Like you just eat too much. And that's not the only reason this is a problem. So I want to say that real clearly. But I also want to acknowledge that, you know, fitness, taking care of your body is not only a way to glorify the Lord, but it's a public health need. A lack of fitness or a heading in the direction of obesity cause all kinds of secondary health conditions. The CDC lists these conditions as worsened by obesity: asthma, heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes, some cancers, and then severe outcomes from respiratory illnesses. The annual medical costs for an average human being are $1,400 higher for an obese person than someone of normal weight. Mm. So it just increases your medical risk at every level. And we saw this during COVID, right? You know, COVID was most dangerous to people who had comorbidities, and most of those related to obesity or lack of fitness. So there is a way in which Christians need to acknowledge that part of how we live for the good of the world is to try to live out 1 Corinthians 6 and Psalm 90 in a way that says to the world, hey, you can be healthy without being idolatrous. Yep. And you can conquer some of the bodily appetites that lead us toward unhealth, because God gives us the grace to do that and calls us to do that. And so when I see my body as a temple of the Holy Spirit, it does affect how I understand my responsibility with my body. And I think what's interesting about how you've been describing this, Dusty, is that as God gives you a vision of like, hey, I'm on earth to bless other human beings.
Yeah.
And I gotta be around as best I can. I have to be responsible to be present for those human beings, my family, my church family. That sense of calling does call us into a sense of fitness and I think a sense of sobriety. So I would say this podcast is helpful too for those who struggle with various substance addictions, right? Like the same principle applies. Glorify God with your body. Hey, you got to be free from addiction. Yep. So that you can be the best blessing to human beings that you can possibly be. Dusty, one other interesting thought I'm having is that for my grandparents, fitness just meant like, you know, going for a walk with the dog and being outdoors and playing in the park with the kids. It just meant like an active life.
Yeah.
Whereas for a lot of modern Americans who have disposable income, it means, you know, I pay $200 to belong to the CrossFit gym. And it's like all of a sudden, it seems like a great portion of people's disposable income can go toward fitness. And how should we think about that when it comes to stewardship of our resources?
Yeah, it is interesting how much, you know, life has changed. Work and life and leisure has changed. There's a lot more desks, right, than there were in the 50s. Mm. So I think there's a place for it, you know. But what's interesting is I think the supplements and the protein and, you know, the which I'm mindful of, you know, like honestly, that's me showing some cards. But like I think the preoccupation, I've already said that word on this podcast already, but just like that stuff being swirling around your head and your diet and when you're driven that way towards the industrialization of the body is the way I would put it. Like, it's very normal. Like, Bob, I don't remember. And maybe this is just because like, it's kind of like buying a red car. Like once you buy the red car, now everybody has a red car and you didn't notice that before. Maybe it's that, but it didn't feel like in the 90s or even early 2000s that it was normal for all these gyms to be like on every corner. And I feel like now there's just gyms everywhere.
Yeah.
And large ones, like museum-like, resort-like places, you know, where like it just, you should belong here because this is culturally the place to be, you know?
Yeah.
That was not the case when we were growing up.
That's,
and it seems to be the case now, and it seems totally normal to member up.
Well, I think you're drawing an interesting connection there, because as I thought about this podcast and what we wanted to say, what I want to say is just like resist the idolatry of the world.
Yeah.
And there are two functional ways that idolatry plays out. One is an idolatry of comfort and ease that leads me to gluttony and selfishness and self-indulgence. And I think a lot of Christians who you know, maybe struggle in these areas toward obesity, there's work that needs to be done around the area of, is there self-indulgence in my life? How am I sort of, you know, allowing my appetites to rule? But the other idolatry is, it's interesting, you use the industrialization of, right? If you just, here's what you can do. Sign up for this prescription. You can get the supplements. It's like if you added up how much money the average person can spend on a gym membership, the food they eat, the supplements, the protein shakes, the, you know, whatever goes into a fitness regime, that can be a significant portion of someone's income. And that part of our economy is growing because I think a lot of it is driven by the fear of death. A lot of it is like, hey, if you spend these dollars, I can stave off death for a while.
Then you can stay young. Yeah.
And so I think we're working in the category of wisdom here. I want to avoid being prescriptive about, hey, here's what you should do for fitness, or here's what, you know, you should be aware of with regard to your appetites. I think there's a ton of Christian freedom here. But I think the listener asking the question gives an interesting opportunity to say, our job as Christians is to resist the idols of our world and to obey texts like 1 Corinthians 6 that say, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You belong to Jesus Christ. So do I. So let's glorify God with our bodies. That means health as best we can be responsible for it. It also means surrender to the will of God. And sometimes surrender to the will of God looks like, man, I have a body that's breaking down in certain ways, and there's not a lot I can do about that. I've got to learn how to accept that and how to walk faithfully in the midst of that.
Yeah. And there is going to be that time coming for every one of us where we need to embrace the neediness, the limitations of our bodies, and just we're going to have to come to terms with those things, right? Like, Bob, you've had a surgery or two. I had foot surgery a couple of years ago, and I remember the nurse telling me, like, and my foot was very swollen, and she said, oh, yeah, you'll really feel that in July. And it was like January.
Oh, no.
And I was like, that's like 8 months from now. Like, what do you mean? I'll be fine in 6 weeks. And she was right. Like, it took a year and a half for me to feel like, and so like, we're just going to have to get used to, this is going to come. And I think Christians can receive that. You know, I'm thinking of Ronald Rollheiser here when he's talking about stewarding death and giving your life away. I think Christians can be distinct in a industrial health culture in a really beautiful way.
Yeah, by saying we're not holding on to our bodies beyond when we're supposed to.
Yeah,
right. And also, we're being good stewards of them as best we can. And so I hope this, my hope with this, thanks to the listener, Matt, who raised this question, and my hope with this podcast is that it provokes you to think a little bit and to maybe do some Lenten reflection around what are the compulsions in your life? Are there compulsions toward food? Are there compulsions toward exercise? Are there compulsions toward alcohol? Or toward rumination about your body, or toward fear of aging, or toward wanting to appear a certain way? And if so, what does it mean to hold those up before the Lord? Let him do the work he needs to in your soul to unravel those things and to bring you to a place of living in line with Psalm 90 and 1 Corinthians 6.
Paul in Philippians 3, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself.
Yeah, preach that.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, thanks for listening in. We pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. And we always love to hear from listeners. So thanks, Matt, for sending in this question. So if you have thoughts, questions, future podcast topics, send an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.